You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Presence Pioneers podcast. Matthew Lilly here, your host, with Jonathan Frizz, my co-founder with Presence Pioneers Media, and we're excited to kick off this new series on the podcast I'm calling Prayer Movement 2.0. And so we're exploring kind of what's been going on the last 20 years, what went right, what went wrong, where we're going from here, what God's up to, and excited to have that conversation with Jonathan today. Welcome to the podcast. If you're new, thank you so much for tuning in and checking us out. This podcast is all about helping you to host the presence of God because we believe God's presence changes everything. And so we love to have Bible teaching and conversations centered around worship, prayer, revival, missions. And so if you're passionate about those things, you found the right podcast. So please hit subscribe or follow wherever you're tuning in with us today. And for those of you who are regulars, welcome back. We love you guys. We appreciate you tracking with us. We really love it when you leave a comment and email us and give us feedback, review the podcast on your app, or share it with your friends or post on social media. Thank you so much for doing that. It helps us get the word out and just serve and encourage more people, which is what we really want to do. Special thanks to our paid subscribers and our Presence Pioneers partners who help make the podcast possible as well. So, all right, Jonathan, welcome back to the podcast.
Good to see you.
Yep. This is becoming a pretty normal, regular thing here for the two of us to be on. So this is fun.
Hey, nice new office, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm trying to make it not echoey, but yeah, it's cool. Got kind of a black background right now, which I don't know. What do you think? Do you like it?
I like the other one better with the colors, but yeah.
My books are still at home, so I might bring them out and set them up behind me and bring it back. So we'll see.
Cool.
Cool. Well, Jonathan, obviously you've been on the podcast a lot, but we want to talk about the prayer movement and what that is, what it is, if it's still something, how we define that, kind of what God's doing. And so I thought, just in case we have new people tuning in, maybe give just a little bit of kind of your ministry so that people can know kind of where, what angle you're coming from, your perspective. Kind of what's going on with 10 days, especially in recent years, so that people can just kind of know a little bit about you and kind of where you're coming from.
Sure. Yeah. I lead a prayer movement called 10 days or 10 days of prayer. We basically call people to stop everything and take extended seasons to be with God in communities. Especially at a citywide level, but can be small groups, can be large groups. And last year we had about, that we know of, maybe more. There probably some of the ones we counted, maybe they signed up, they didn't do something, but we had around 600 locations around the world that were hosting a 10-day prayer meeting. And for us, it's really, especially in the last 5 or 6 years, become very international. So in 2020, we had about 20% of our gatherings that were outside of the U.S. And last year, we had about 80% that were outside of the U.S. So it's a global movement of prayer where people are taking these special seasons. The 10 days of awe in the fall from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and just dialing into being in the presence of God together in community. And then we also have another one leading up to Pentecost in the spring, spring 10 days. So that's what I do.
Yeah. So I think that gives you a unique perspective. I would also just add to that, you have a unique value for collaboration and unity in the body of Christ and among praying groups. You literally wrote the book about it. It's called Jesus Gets What He Prays For. And it's about John 17 and Jesus' prayer for unity. But you've lived that out too. So I know you're connected with people beyond 10 days as well, other streams of the body of Christ, a lot of leaders. You're just very well connected. And I think that gives you a cool perspective on what God's doing in the church. And obviously all of us have limited perspective, but yeah, I think you have a unique perspective to bring to things here. So,
yeah, I definitely got into prayer through unity. My first, the kind of spark was this sense of Jesus' prayer in John 17, his prayer is impossible. How is it going to happen? And for me, that really drove me into prayer, realizing that connecting in the presence of God is what unites people better than anything else. And also, you know, if you have an impossible problem, the only logical thing to do about it is to pray about it, because you, yeah, there's literally nothing that you can do to make it happen. So
yeah,
it needs to be God.
Amen. Well, you and I did a episode on the podcast in August 2024. We ended up titling it Evaluating Mike Bickle's Teachings, IHOP, KC's Prophetic History, and the Prayer Movement. And this was you and I kind of processing through some of what had happened with the scandal with Mike Bickle and IHOP Kansas City. And we're not going to rehash all of that today. You can go back and watch that video for some of that if you'd like. But I would say that was a significant moment for a lot of us who are passionate about prayer, especially here in the U.S. And it has sort of shaken up the conversation and caused a lot of people to reflect and say, what are we doing? Are we doing it the right way? What is the prayer movement? Is there a prayer movement? Do we like those terms? Do we like that language? How are we mobilizing prayer? Are our prayer ministries healthy, et cetera, et cetera? So there's been a lot of conversations around that. I'm curious for you, Jonathan, how would you define the term prayer movement? Like, what comes to mind for you when you think of that term?
Yeah, I mean, I think what comes to mind is just that Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. It's a reference to Isaiah 56. It's what he said when he came into the temple in Jerusalem. A lot of times people falsely say it's him cleansing the temple. Mm-hmm. What it is it's him judging the temple. He's saying, hey, this is not it. After that, he declares that the temple is going to be destroyed. You know, so it's a very weighty, heavy moment. But it was a failure to be a house of prayer for all nations, at least this judgment. So this purpose in God's heart that his house would be a house of prayer for all nations, I feel like is just core and central to God's plan in the earth. So that's what I think of when I think of the prayer movement. I think of what Jesus said happening. I think of Luke 18, like that we should pray at all times and not give up. And then I just think of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we talk about prayer, I think a lot of times we're talking about connecting with the person of Holy Spirit, who is God with us in our midst. And Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity in this age who is bringing God's plans into fruition. He's the one who's with us. He's communicating the presence of the Father and Son to us. They're in heaven. He's with us. Yeah, that's the other thing I think about, I think, when I think about a prayer movement. So I would say, and I've said this before in writing, like, if you don't believe in the prayer movement, like, I don't know what to tell you, because there's more prayer happening and there are more movements of prayer happening now than have ever happened in human history. So you can call it whatever you want. There's just a particular emphasis on prayer, on worship, on the presence of God that is global and that is unprecedented in human history. So,
man, it's true.
That's the prayer movement. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I love, though, that you started with just bringing it back to scripture, and just that there's something more fundamental than a trend right now in the body of Christ. And that, you know, there's biblical foundations for the church prioritizing the presence of God and prayer, and that God is bringing us back to that. And there's been many prayer movements throughout the last 2,000 years where God has stirred people to pray in unusual ways. And so I think of the Moravians off the top of my head, where it's just like an unusual move of prayer in their day. I mean, that probably seemed like a prayer movement, right? But yeah, so, and God's doing something unique in our day as well. So, you know, you bring up the verse, my house will be a house of prayer. Jesus is talking about the church, his people. Now, that term has become a loaded term a little bit because it's come to describe a certain expression of prayer ministry. This really connected with Kansas City, to be honest. This idea of a prayer room where there's live bands or worship leaders, kind of people sitting in the rows, prayer from a microphone, kind of harp and bowl, all those kinds of things. Now, I know you well enough to know that's not exactly what you mean when you're bringing up the verse house of prayer, right?
Right. Yeah, I think it can have a lot of different expressions, but one thing I would encourage people is, you know, first of all, like, I don't think anyone needs to apologize if they were blessed or influenced by stuff that happened in Kansas City in a positive way.
For sure.
God throughout history, when you read church history, it's like he is using people, and a lot of those people, well, all of those people other than the Lord are sinners. Some are sinning big, some are sinning little, but you know, I think about people in my life that have influenced me positively, and some of them have had, you know, very sinned in very significant ways. And it doesn't take, I think you're really doing a disservice when you let the devil not only affect their life, but also steal any good that has happened to you through that. So,
right.
You know, I would just say, I think there's a lot of good that has come through Kansas City, people who've been influenced by it. I think the idea of 24/7 prayer is a God idea. It is an idea from the heart of God. Of course, there's lots of different ways you can express 24/7 prayer. You know, one cool thing is there's a modern, like, just for example, not that there's a number of 24/7 groups that all started around the same time in the late 90s, including the one that was most influential for me early on, which was Pete Gregg and 24/7 prayer. But IHOP KC was another one. And then another one was this Eucharistic adoration movement in the Roman Catholic Church, where it's really focused on silent prayer, but going 24/7. You know, they believe the real presence of God is in the Eucharist, so they'll meditate on that. So my point is, God is stirring different people, different expressions to do this, and these are good things. It's not just limited to Kansas City, but I don't think people, I don't know, I would just say, I don't think people need to feel bad about where they were influenced or where they got inspired to seek God in a new way.
I agree. Has your perspective changed at all over the last year and a half since we recorded that last podcast episode? I know there's been continuing uncovering of abuses in different streams of the church, a lot in the charismatic world, different things. Your own experience, just processing. Yeah. Is there anything you feel like has changed in your own heart or perspective over the last couple of years, or maybe since you last said something? Hey guys, it's Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider becoming a paid subscriber. Paid subscribers receive exclusive access to new bonus podcast episodes, along with our library of previous bonus episodes. You'll also get free access to my Enjoying Prayer video course and study guide, exclusive articles and book chapters, discounts on paid products, and more. You can become a paid subscriber with Presence Pioneers Media today for only $5 a month or $50 a year. If you've enjoyed this free podcast, Becoming a paid subscriber is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing our free resources and partner with us to equip the church in day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Click the link in the description or visit presencepioneers.media to sign up today.
Man, I just feel like God is really, the best way I can describe the moment is that, you know, Jesus is walking among the lampstands. And so he's judging, he's cleaning house. So I think that's a really good thing. You know, when I clean house, maybe like once a year, I clean out the basement. And my wife is always like, don't throw away stuff that we need, you know, because there's like a temptation to kind of just get rid of everything. Because I just, you know, I just want that basement to stop being a mess.
Yeah.
And so I really think that is a something we need to keep in mind. You know, Scripture says, Paul told us, do not despise prophecy. So if you've ever been around prophetic people, you know why he said that.
That's hilarious.
There's a lot of reason you would want to despise prophecy. It creates a lot of mess. Some of it's bogus. And so I think in the prophetic church, if you've been in a very unstable prophetic type setting, there's a temptation to like just throw all that out. So I would say we need to not despise prophecy. We can have it. We need to grow in maturity and how we're using it. We need to not glorify and exalt the power gifts, maybe in the way that we have. I think we're seeing that with some of these latest scandals of faking words of knowledge. And, you know, when you have this like hunger for the spectacular, then people are all too willing to kind of meet that need. There's a market for it. And then I think a lot of the things too are centered around fame and money.
Yeah.
Especially in the charismatic world. And so I think the Lord is dealing with a lot of that stuff. I think it's a good thing. I personally have a sense of fear of the Lord about it. I would just encourage people not to spend so much time following the latest scandal and pointing the finger, but really like, Lord, what in me needs to change? Like, what are you doing? How have I been complicit or caught up in these things? That'd be some of my take on it. I think, so it's a significant moment of discipline. I did write about this, I think, several times, but one of them was called The Death of Melchizedek. And I feel like it's very much about what's happening right now. That there's been a failure of a part of the church to kind of like walk into maybe what could have been or what God wanted. There is a mourning over that. There is but one cool thing I do see happening, I'm sorry, I'm just kind of jumping all over, but
that's great.
I see in more evangelical churches, in some streams, like a real openness to the Spirit and a fresh stirring of the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. Say a few things about that.
Yeah. Like, just think about like what happened in Asbury, just to grab a really public example. You know, everyone who's been affected by that, which that was, you know, Asbury is not like a super hyper charismatic place. It's more like traditional, you know, Methodist. And but everyone who's been affected by that has been growing in things of the Spirit, growing in prayer, You know, I hear a lot of these new streams, new people wanting to see revival, having experiences with travailing prayer, new experiences with the Holy Spirit, and new movements of prayer. Like, we have a movement in New England called the New England Revival Prayer Covenant. And I would kind of put that in that category. You know, it's not necessarily, it's not that it's uncharismatic. It's just not from a traditional charismatic stream.
Yeah.
But it's people that are newly awakened to the gifts of the Spirit, desire to be connecting with the Spirit. So I think that's a really positive trend. And one other thing that's interesting is it seems like a lot of people that were really involved in the prayer movement have kind of gone into more of a high church direction, whether it's Anglican or Catholic or Orthodox.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And I think that's, I don't know if the reasons for doing it are right all the time, and probably it's a mix, but I think that could be a really valuable theological piece. Like a lot of times the people I meet that are following the Lord the best have been influenced significantly from a number of different streams of the church. And so they're kind of bringing all these things together. It's like almost like there's these hidden treasures in different parts of the church, different traditions. And a lot of times people are just more stable, more balanced when they have some different theological influences. And so I think that actually could be really healthy and really good.
That's fascinating. I saw just, I think it was this year, some videos from Saddleback Church, which is, I think they're Southern Baptist, but non-denominational or evangelical kind of mega church, seeker friendly. And God, the Holy Spirit was really moving. They were praying. They were doing hours and hours of worship and prayer. And it was like, this is really awesome. So yeah, that's encouraging that, I'm happy to say I'm part of the charismatic movement. It's just what I grew up in, non-denominational, spirit-filled churches and that kind of thing. But yeah, to see and to remember that this is so much bigger. And that's part of what I hope will come out in this podcast series, is that what we each might say, oh, that's the prayer movement, this is House of Prayer, this is 24/7 prayer, whatever. We're all looking at it from different angles thinking that's what it is. But when you begin to see the big picture, you realize God's up to so much more. And the church is very big. The church is very diverse. The church is global. It's not just America. It's not just what we see in our social media feeds. Because I posted something online recently and somebody commented and said, why does it seem like all the scandals are happening in the charismatic church? And I said, well, it's because you're charismatic. And so those are all the people that you're on their email list and you're watching their YouTube channels and you're seeing their social media posts. And so we're seeing that. I was like, but there's plenty of good and bad happening in all the church traditions and all the different streams of the body of Christ. Of course, we're going to see and notice what's happening with people that we follow and are close to, have relationship with. So yeah, I appreciate that perspective that, hey, there's stuff happening in kind of evangelical, less charismatic world that's awesome. And then there's also stuff happening in these high church traditions of, you know, the Anglican church and Orthodox and Catholic, and there's some interesting things happening there. And the truth is, I'm just kind of rambling here, but you can respond to any of this in a minute. But you know, the most of the church history is Catholic, you know, and in that tradition, there were monks and monasteries and those that were continuing this life of radical, at times day and night, prayer, fasting, these things that we now associate with House of Prayer, prayer movement, you know. And some people like Pete Gregg are happy to acknowledge this, that, hey, we're just picking up on a tradition that's been going on throughout church history. You know, it is ramping up in the 21st century in terms of scale, but in terms of it, the idea of having a monastery, it's like a prayer room, you know, it's like a place of rhythms of day and night prayer, just radical devotion to God, deep theological study, mission, all those kinds of things. And so, yeah, I think there's some rich history in the high church traditions that that we could learn from, and just the humility of just realizing that we're not some cool on the edge in innovators because we decided to start praying a lot.
Right.
And, you know, the charismatic world, especially, we like to go, this is the new thing. This is the new thing. And it's kind of like, prayer is not the new thing. 24/7 prayer is not the new thing. Like, this is a very old thing. And we, it would help us to probably have the humility of remembering that. So anyway,
100%. And, you know, I think, first of all, I think we're certainly in the line of these monastic traditions and these renewal traditions, within the church. You could even say like the Reformation was the new monasticism when it came out, like, you know, because Luther was a monk. He was wanting to renew, you know, he was wanting to renew the church, and then it went in a certain direction. But, you know, one thing I would say too is like, maybe we have more to learn from these traditions. You know, for instance, you know, monastic orders have maybe done a better job. Like, they have a vow of poverty for people that are in their, essentially in their prayer movement, right? So what does that mean? It means this person is committed. They're going to be provided for, but they're not going to have their own possessions. That's what it means. Essentially, like, they're going to be part of a communal family that's taking care of their needs. So that's been a huge problem for prayer missionaries and people in this, is like finances. And like, was that a more sustainable model? Okay, bear with me here. This one's going to be a little weird for you, but hey, dividing men and women in our prayer expression and living together, all men, all women, like, would we have less problems with sexual immorality? I'm just saying, like, maybe we're so Western and we're so modern in our thinking that we're missing on some of these things. I think, honestly, we're so inundated with sexual immorality in the West from the culture, like, we don't even have a good perspective on what could be actual modesty or actual wisdom on these matters. But maybe we'd have like less leaders falling if we would do some of these things, like, hey, maybe spending all your time around like 20 something women in a spiritually charged environment isn't really great for your spiritual health if you're a man.
Yeah.
And that might not
40 year old man. Yeah.
Right. Right. And that might just be like the most basic wisdom imaginable, but somehow we've been blinded to it. So I think we still have more to learn. I'm not saying we should do this, we should do that. I'm just saying, okay, we've seen some serious problems. To be honest, up until about 10 minutes ago, sometime in the 1900s, all colleges and universities were segregated in that way. So this is something that our ancestors really understood and valued. Almost like, hey, we know how human beings work. Let's enable them to live a holy life, or at least let's make it harder for them to sin. I think some of those things we could really learn from. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fun ideas. Please leave a comment and let us know what you think about some of Jonathan's ideas.
Go for it.
But I mean, I think there's some deep wisdom in that too. It, like you said, just some things to consider. What can we learn from some of that history? So, well, there's more we're gonna talk about, but we're gonna continue this conversation in part two, and that will be for our paid subscribers. But I want to ask you more about the global perspective, because we haven't quite touched on that a lot yet. With 10 days and 600 locations around the world, you have some perspective on what God's doing globally in terms of prayer. And also just, you know, want to speak to people maybe who are feeling disillusioned or that kind of thing as well. And so, yeah, we're going to have the second half of this conversation. Again, it's going to be for our paid Substack subscribers. So if you want to be sure to get the second half, then you can sign up. Wherever you're tuning in the description underneath here, there'll be a link where you can go to our Substack. It's presencepioneers.media. And you can become a paid subscriber, get access to a number now of bonus podcast episodes that are exclusively for our paid subscribers. And also, you'll get access to my Enjoying Prayer course, copies of chapters of the books that we've published, and all kinds of good things that we can think of. So if you want to do that, follow the link in the description, and we will continue this conversation in just a minute. Thanks, Jonathan.